Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
7.5 the hour now. It's the weekend overview of what's going on in the world of news talk radio that you're about to hear. The DJ viewers include Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Jay Kirshner, and me, Doug Steffen, with the charts from Talkers Magazine in the focus. We post these on our Facebook pages, our social media pages, our website at talkers.com as well. The week of February the 22nd to the 26th with the stories and the people. I think maybe I sort of try to change this up every week, ladies. We'll start with the people list this week. Last week, I think we did the story list. All of these have been in the focus, according to Tucker. We're listening to all the stations around the country. They get there. You know, they get the drift of things. This is about national and local hosts and what they're talking about. So, at number 10 on the list is Tiger Woods. Anybody know what his status is as we go into the weekend? What the car accident, I think most people understand or know.
I think he's doing pretty well, actually. Yeah. They just moved him from where he was at UCLA Harbor Medical Center over to Cedars-Sinai. The reason that they do that is not necessarily for continuation of care, but because Cedars is actually built to handle all of the paparazzi and all of the media that are standing outside. And so they usually move celebrities there as quickly as they
can. But what are they standing outside for? How ridiculous that is. What,
I just don't know if it's that they're standing outside or if they're trying to sneak in.
The fool, huh? What?
Think about how easy it is for one of those TMZ guys to try to sneak into a hospital and try to sneak. So I'm sure that's part of the equation. I don't know why they stand out there, especially when they know his life is not at risk. His career certainly may be, but I think the good news here is that he escaped, and the sheriff's department in LA said he's lucky he was wearing a seatbelt because it's very possible that he wouldn't have gotten away as
he didn't
easily.
Walk away as it was.
He
yeah,
didn't
right.
walk away. Mm. That's
yeah,
right.
Right. All right. So that's the Tiger Woods reality at the end of the week. At number 9, people still talking about Rush Limbaugh. In fact, something started this week. It's sort of a what if. There are plenty of people listening to this program who are still big fans of Limbaugh. I'm sure they will be years to come. So there has been an idea floated, and I'm not sure whether it's by the syndicated premiere, where it came from, but there are those people who are asking around to see if there would be support for a 24/7 Rush Limbaugh channel that would have nonstop reruns of all of his programs from the first day he went on the air in 1988. Would you listen to that? How many people do you think would? There are plenty of Rush
fans. Not exclusively,
fans.
But I'd go through and check it out.
Mm-hmm. And whether that is what they don't think that's what they're going to do at noontime, that is have three, they're doing it now, 3 hours of Rush playing back and forth. But there is, it's kind of like when you get down to the nitty gritty of how this has worked in the past, there have been shows, and American Top 40 is the one that comes to mind immediately. Casey Kasem is heard on stations all across the country all weekend, every weekend, and has been. These are shows that were running in the 70s. He was on for, I think, 14, maybe more than that. I can't remember how many years he was on. But they replay them on the weekend on the stations that fit into that format. Oldie stations, classic hit stations, that sort of thing. And they don't have, I don't believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that there's a Casey Kasem station anywhere, or it wouldn't be a station, it would be a satellite destination where you could plug in and play, you know, like Scott Shannon has the True Oldies channel, and there are things like that that exist, but I don't think there's a Casey Kasem, but the weekends really is perfect, and they're still making a lot of money syndicating those shows. So I'm sure one of the motivations by the folks at Premiere is to try to keep some of that $100 million a year in billing that Limbaugh had, which they will not keep with anybody else that they put in that slot, no matter how they slide. It wasn't just I don't want to get into the weeds too much here, but it wasn't that the advertising revenue was the only thing, because there were a lot of companies that paid millions of dollars to have Limbaugh on their stations, as well as paying, as allowing the advertising or having the advertising as part of the program. So there were two ways of making money. So I think the movement is called Rush Rooms Radio Forever, something like that, or hashtag Rush Forever. So if If you're up for that, I'm thinking it. I think, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea, frankly. It would be it's a good business move, and it's a good way to appease a lot of people that want to hear Russian, don't really want to listen to many other people that are on the radio, frankly. Okay, number 8 on the people list, Cyrus Vance Jr. This one has me completely buffled. I don't know what, I mean,
AG
I know who
of
Cyrus
the Southern
Vance
District
was.
Of New York.
Okay, so he's going after
well, the Supreme
Trump.
Court allows all of Trump's tax returns, and it's literally millions of documents, which is going to take months for them to go through, but it was all delivered to the Southern District this week.
People could say to me, well, you're not informed. Anything I see that has anything to do with Trump, I just drop it. I just go.
Well, it potentially could not be great news for Trump. So that's
I understand that.
The headline.
And some people may want to know that. I get the headline. For me, I'm done with Trump. I just hit the dump button when it comes to anything about Trump. All right, number 7 is Andrew Cuomo, and what's going on with him? There are a lot of things going on with him, but I think this is more about the charges of sexual abuse, right?
Everything.
Is it only one, or is
it's
it one person?
Woman. Uh-huh. It's one woman right now criticizing not just the governor for whatever he said and did to her. I guess he's tried to kiss her or forced a kiss from her. But it's about the culture in his office. A lot of women around, she says, protect and normalize his commentary and that sort of thing. But it's multi-level for
him.
Is
it words or is it actions? What is it? A little of both?
She said both. Yeah, she said both. That he tried to, he did kiss her without her consent.
This is Lindsay Boylan?
Is
she the one that worked for him?
He also has got the nursing home scandal behind him where he took, and it's apparently growing not just from nursing homes now, but to group homes and to institutional settings where people with disabilities and people who have mental problems are housed. There is also an effort to put people into those places and when they had COVID-19. And so now you've got families who are upset, Democrats, Republicans, AOC has turned on him. People are calling for investigations into him, and there's already an effort. In California, we have a recall. And that means that when there's someone that's elected, you can go through the legal process of recalling that person if they are not demonstrating the leadership that is worthy of the state. And that is not the rules in New York. So they have to do an impeachment in New York. So you'll hear that I word again. So now there's a commission that's been formed, a 60-day commission, to see if they have to see what went on, number one, and to see if there should be a punishment for that in terms of an impeachment.
And what do you think? What's the collective here?
I think, I think an investigation, both into this, I think he gets his day in court. I have always believed in due process. I believe that for Judge Kavanaugh, which he didn't, and I believe it for him. I think that there needs to be an investigation into what this woman's claims are when it comes to sexual harassment. And I think there absolutely needs to be an investigation into the nursing home and an investigation into whether or not his office was stonewalling. The bad news for him is that people in his office have already come out and said that they were stonewalling because they didn't want to have to turn over the numbers to the Department of Justice because, again, it all boils back to the guy you don't like to talk about, and that's Trump. Mm-hmm. Andrew Cuomo did not want to use the resources that the federal government gave him because he didn't want to have to create the storyline that Trump and the federal government actually helped him out. He wanted to say that he was able to do everything in his state of New York, and that worked for a while when he was writing books and collecting Emmy Awards, but now he's got to answer for it. And so I think if he did everything right and by the book, then he should have nothing to worry about.
All right, there it is. We're working on all of these items. You can find the list, as I said, on our social media at DJV Show or at talkers.com. This is the Talk Radio Review with Doug Steffen, Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan. Jay Kirshner is going to bring us up to date on some of the things that you're saying on our social media about these issues of the week as we continue. All right, 17 after the hour, it's the Talk Radio Review, a roundup of the hot hits from our perspective on the DJV program. Doug Steffen, Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, and Jay Kirshner. So we're at Marjorie Taylor Greene on the People list, top 10 list this week, has her. I'm wondering, I didn't realize she was back in the fold. I thought she had gone away kind of, not quietly, a few weeks ago, but apparently she's back in the fold. And
well,
I just wonder,
taunting her office mate, the woman whose office is across the hall from hers has a transgender child. And so in typical Marjorie Taylor Greene fashion, because, you know, she's all about humanity and being a wonderful person, she's posting all kinds of posters on her door that are anti-transgender.
What is the matter with this? Woman needs psychological help.
Yes, that's the answer.
I mean, there are a bunch of, on both sides, these groups of people that are serving themselves and not their constituents. I mean, I don't know what you can say. AOC is kind of serving her constituents, but you look at the rest of the bunch, the squad, and then there are these others on the Republican side that are just there to glam and to talk, and to, what are they doing to advance the cause of the country? Or, I mean, they probably think they're doing God's work or something. I don't know what the hell they think.
I think a war in the hallway between a Democrat and a Republican is not serving either party's constituents.
No.
It seems ridiculous
that they're having
a war between, you know, holding up a transgender pride flag and holding up making anti-remarks about it. Just doesn't make any sense. And what does that serve? All it's doing is wasting our time and our energy talking about it. Well, people are still suffering. It's so stupid.
Yep. And sure, it's self-serving. It shows you how selfish these people are. That's kind of where I come from. It's all about
them. It's a misguided
them.
Fight. Fight for your constituents, not over a hallway.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or, you know, are Marjorie Taylor Greene's constituents all worked up about, is that the most important thing to them?
It doesn't even matter right now. Coronavirus and relief and the economy and opening schools are the things that are frustrating people most.
Yeah.
So,
that should be on the top of people's lists. So, you know, you get back. Did she replace somebody who retired, or did she defeat somebody who was running against her? But who was the person that was there before from her district? You know, was it anybody that had made any noise?
I looked it up the last time around let's see who it is. I'll look it up. Go ahead.
I remember like when Presley was elected from the Boston district where Capuano was before, he just took his reelection for granted and she handed him his head. So, you know, there's some of that that goes on.
It was an open seat. She ran against Karen Handel, actually.
Who got it.
Democrat in the state.
21 after the hour.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Meanwhile, back in the ranch or back on the radio, it's the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen with Michael Harrison. We've gone through the stories this week that are important according to the research at Talkers Magazine, the Bible of the talk radio industry, where you can hear Talkers Radio, see Talkers Television, all kinds of things. It's all about talk. It's talk about talk. Now, so with the story list behind us, but we haven't delved into the people stuff, so why don't you do that, the people list, Michael?
Yeah, lots of them come from the Biden hearings for his cabinet, but let's get to the whole top 10, which has several ties. We have at number 10, Tiger Woods, number 9, Rush Limbaugh, and the aforementioned Cyrus Vance Jr. at number 8. At number 7, we have Andrew Cuomo and Lindsey Boylan tied. At number 6, we have Marjorie Taylor Greene, Doug Steffen's favorite human being. At number five, we have Kyrsten Sinema tied with Joe Manchin. At number 4, Merrick Garland, Neera Tanden, and Deb Haaland. Yogananda Pittman is at number 3. Donald Trump is at 2. And Joe Biden has eked him out for the top spot in terms of being a name on people's tongues. Joe Biden is number 1 on the people.
All right. The people list is... Oh, is that? Can we go back to something? I think we were talking about this off the air, whether or not, because Limbaugh, number 9 here on this list, and whether or not there is enough substance to, there have been some suggestions by some of our colleagues that there be a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week Rush Limbaugh network of all of the old things captured over the past 32 years. There is, I think we figured out 15,000 or so hours of Rush Limbaugh on the radio. And in my mind, this is like Casey Kasem, the reviving of the American Top 40 show that he was on for 20-some-odd years. You hear that every weekend on stations all over the country today.
Yeah.
And so is this a Is this something from your perspective as sort of the go-to guy? I know people are still asking you to do interviews about Limbaugh and his career. So does this, where does this go in the
Well, first of all, you know, I know what you mean by a network. I mean, this certainly is a place for some type of a shrine to Rush Limbaugh's many, many thousands of hours of recorded
commentary. On the radio, would there be a place, would Premier, his syndicator, start a separate channel with nothing but Limbaugh on it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
What do you mean a separate, what do you mean a separate channel? You mean a full radio station?
Yeah, well, all Limbaugh all the time.
There's a huge difference, Doug. There's a huge difference between a 24/7 radio station of Limbaugh all the time and a 3 hour a day show.
Well, but there is a Howard Stern. There's a Howard Stern channel that's 24 hours a day on Sirius, and it's all the old stuff. It's not anything necessarily fresh. I mean, he's got his own. He's got actually two channels, I think, at Sirius, and one of them is just his old stuff repeated over and over again.
Okay, well, I'll give you my professional ascertainment.
Yes.
Of course there's place somewhere for a platform of 24/7 streaming Limbaugh stuff. But that's a very different thing than what to do with a three-hour program.
Yes, the two different things. I'm sorry if I'm confused.
Yeah,
two
exactly. They're totally different things.
Yeah.
And I think both are viable. But there are 24-hour services dedicated to the history of people far less famous and popular than Limbaugh. I mean, it's a no-brainer that Limbaugh's material will be repurposed, which is the term we use in the business, for some type of a channel on a multi-channel platform such as Sirius, where you have the luxury of being able to offer your subscribers this channel and that channel and this channel. But in terms of a radio station, I don't see that as a format.
I don't either. I didn't mean it to be that. I'm sorry. It wasn't as clear as I might have been. But I see it as a way, if Sirius were smart, they make a deal with Premier, not to get too much into the weeds here. But there are a lot of subscribers who may not be on Sirius at the moment who would be jumping at a chance to sign up to listen to a Limbaugh channel. I think there are tens of thousands of people.
They would. And the Limbaugh people have that option. Believe me, they're thinking about it, and they should.
Yep, they should. 28 after the hour. Hold on.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
The last week of February is in the focus here in our overview of what's going on in the News Talk Radio world, the DJV gang. Jennifer Horn, Victoria Keelan, Jay Kirshner, and Doug Steffen. We've gone through the people. Well, we're going through the people list. Next up is Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Who's taking that one on?
Or Kyrsten Sinema. But I like the way you said it.
What's her name?
Just Kyrsten Sinema.
Is it spelled weird, though? Is it spelled K-Y-R? Because that would be Kyrsten.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
okay. So
Sinema.
Jennifer.
Her last name is just Sinema.
Okay. As in Max Sinema or whatever. So what's the story here?
Who is she now that we've butchered her name?
Yes.
Okay.
Right,
she is the senator from Arizona. Joe Manchin is the senator from West Virginia. And the reason that they would be trending this week is because they're the two most powerful people in Washington, D.C. right now. You thought it was Joe Biden? Ha, 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 ha. No, it's these two Democrats who are considered to be the more moderate Democrats in the Senate. And because the Senate is split 50-50, Democrats and Republicans, there's a lot of attention being focused on these two to see what they're going to do, what they're going to vote on, who they're going to confirm in the nomination process.
And what have they done so far that makes them of note?
So this week, to the things that they've been making news about, let's see. First of all, a lot of confirmation hearings going on in the Senate and some controversial ones. The two most controversial, well, we'd add a third, but Neera Tanden, who's been nominated for Office of Management and Budget, OMB, had tweeted nasty things about almost every senator sitting in the chamber, Democrats, Republicans alike. She's really torn.
She did not discriminate.
No, she tore people up. And before her nomination, or before her confirmation hearing, she actually went through and deleted, I think, over 1,000 tweets from her feed. And so Joe Manchin was not impressed with her testimony and says he's probably a no on Neera Tanden, which would mean you need a Republican. And no Republican has said that they're interested in voting for her either. So it looks like her confirmation is in peril. They've actually tabled the rest of the hearings because they don't know what they're going to do with her. Also, Javier Becerra, the attorney general from California, who for whatever reason was picked to run Health and Human Services, is also a bit controversial.
What are his qualifications to do that?
He was involved in the ACA, the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
It's kind of the main thing.
He's also looked at as not even a pro-choice person, but a pro-abortion legislator. And so to be sitting in Health and Human Services, a lot of conservative Republicans take issue with that. He also has no medical experience, not even in pharmaceuticals or virology. And people say, you know, that may have worked a couple of years ago before the pandemic.
Who do you know to get on the list? Is this a Kamala Harris deal?
Yes, he's part of Kamala's squad, but also it was a thank you because he sued Trump's administration like 158 times during their time in office. So it's kind of a thank you, and sure, Kamala knows him as well. But anyway, that one is sort of in peril. I haven't seen where the senators are on that, but people are looking at Joe Manchin about whether or not he'll confirm. More importantly, the COVID-19 stimulus bill is getting passed through the House. It's going to go to the Senate. The Senate parliamentarian said you cannot include a $15 an hour federal minimum wage, and Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema said that they would not vote for a $15 minimum wage as part of a reconciliation bill, which is what this is, because it violates Senate rules.
Who's voting against the bill because it's full of pork and garbage? Who's standing
up
and saying?
Well, everybody seems to have a piece of something that they want in it. So
well, that's how they get the stuff passed.
You have to take the whole, right, exactly. Yeah, so if you're willing to push your stuff through, then you have to, you know, if
it's
you
not
want
in
to
the best interest of the American people. Meanwhile, speaking of minimum wage, you may have seen that Costco has announced this week they will start paying $16 an hour next week to everybody. That's the minimum wage they
Costco's
will pay.
Costco's making bank right now
Costco.
In the pandemic.
And Costco is giving the boys at Amazon a little food for thought, as they really have been raking in very quietly. They've been maneuvering themselves into a lot of different positions when it comes to online stuff. So look for Costco, in my opinion. Actually, be a good stock to own. I'd be interested in seeing whether Warren Buffett owns any of Costco. But these are people who are not going to bow down to Amazon at the feet of what everybody thinks. Oh, Amazon. I always buy from Amazon. You might want to check out Costco because they're doing a lot of the same things. And that's not a paid announcement. It's just an observation. Okay, number four on the list of people is Merrick Garland, who seems to be in good stead as he tries to get confirmed, right? Or is he getting confirmed already for the Attorney General? Hello.
No. Merrick Garland has not been. No. He has not been confirmed yet.
A few crickets there.
I don't know if he's been confirmed
well,
yet.
Well, I thought.
He's in the process, right? They're still.
He's not been confirmed. He had his hearings this week. And I don't know. In my mind, they were pretty lackluster. But he should be confirmed. Mitch McConnell is the Republican. As the minority leader said, he'll vote to confirm him. The idea is that most Republicans will vote for people who are at least qualified. I mean, you've always got your five holdouts or so that are not going to vote for anybody that Joe Biden puts out, as we saw with Trump, the same thing on the other side. But by and large, if people are qualified, then they can sit there and get a confirmation. What I will just tell you, because I watched the Merrick Garland hearings, is of all of the cabinet appointees of Joe Biden's, this is the one that I actually had the highest hopes for, because he seems to be well-respected on both the Republican and the Democrat side of the aisle, and people have said he's fair and all of this. But I was so disturbed by his testimony. He would not commit to an answer. He seemed like he didn't know much about anything. He just said, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't know about that. Now, maybe that's a tactic, but it doesn't exactly breed confidence. And
that's like he's a lawyer, Jennifer. And if you go into a deposition, I did a deposition this week.
Well, Amy Coney Barrett also didn't answer a lot of questions, and no one had an issue with that, too.
But lawyers will tell you,
because they're lawyers,
the way that you answer a question is, I forget, I don't know.
Amy Coney Barrett's famous line was, "Well, I can't speculate. I can't speculate."
And I understand
that about everything. So,
well, I understand that because
if that didn't bother people, then this shouldn't bother Merrick. You know about Merrick.
But it's a little different. Because Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as a Supreme Court justice, did the same thing. And that's what Amy Coney Barrett replicated. And that is, we can't say what if because we don't know what the court case is until it gets in front of us. And that's when we have to decide and make our decision.
Okay.
And that was the RBG rule. And that's what Amy Coney Barrett did during her confirmation. But Merrick Garland was a little different. They asked him, will you keep the special prosecutor? And he said, I don't know. I mean, the special prosecutor, you either will or you won't. I mean, it seems like a fine answer. Mm. When it came to border, will you enforce the laws of land at the border? I don't know. Well, how is that? Your job as attorney general is to enforce the law, not to be partisan. So it should just be clear answers, but it was just lackluster, that's all.
I think the problem is, and we saw this a lot in the last 4 years, the attorney general, the job of the attorney general has become extremely political. Bill Barr was, you know, basically Trump's personal attorney. Jeff Sessions refused to be that.
Can I ask a question that's not meant to be argumentative? How was Bill Barr President Trump's personal attorney?
There were so many examples of where he stepped in where he should not. Jen,
like one.
Come on. You know
no,
how many
because
there
I
are.
Had, I'm curious because here's something that happened on my show that I host in Los Angeles. Somebody called in and said that same kind of talking point. Bill Barr was Trump's personal attorney. I said, okay, how? And the caller said, well, I don't know, just a lot of things that he did. And I said, okay, just give me one. And we were up against a break, and I put the caller on hold. And I said, look, I'm going to give you time to think of one, and I'll come back to you. So you'll have 5 minutes here to figure out exactly what thing Bill Barr did as Trump's personal attorney. And
well, okay, I can give you two examples right off the top of my head that felt very personal to me. Okay, the number one thing that really pissed me off as a woman, and this is personal and this is separate from governmental stuff and whatever, but when Bill Barr decided that Trump, the president, was no longer the defendant in the case with, and the woman's name is blank, I'm blanking on the woman's name now, who's suing him for a rape, Bill Barr stepped in where he should not have, and he made the American government, it's the United States now versus that lady, which means you cannot sue the American, not sue the United States.
It that was improper. Negates. I agree with you
that
on
was
that one.
So that was so unethical on so many levels.
And I know a lot of people were upset about that, but the reason Bill Barr did it is because it was consistent to the same thing that happened with Bill Clinton when he was in office. So
two wrongs don't make a right.
Exactly, but precedence is what
there's. No,
all right, let's keep moving.
Bill Barr did a lot of suppressing of investigations into Trump too, and the tax returns. There's a lot.
Yogananda Pittman, is she a new yogi in Washington? We'll find out in a moment here on the DJV overview of what's going on. Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Stephan here with a story list from Talkers Magazine from number 10 to number 1. At number 10, the Tiger Woods accident. Kind of a bizarre reality, isn't it? Number 9, lots of talk about the Mars mission and how successful it is. Thank heavens we have something good to talk about with regard to our government and a government agency. Number 8, social media and the First Amendment and the future of the social media system, talk media, etc. Number 7, race relations. Number 6, our relationship with China and Russia and Iran because of the bombing, especially this week. Trump and his legal problems at 5. The Capitol insurrection investigation, number 4. Biden and his cabinet appointments, number 3. The economy, number 2. And COVID with regard to vaccines and viruses, et cetera. That's it. The top 10 stories this week, according to Talkers Magazine. At Talkers.com and also on the DJV social media at DJV Show and Facebook and at the DJV website as well. You can find the stories and the people every week. People list this week includes at number 10, Tiger Woods. Number 9, Rush Limbaugh. Number 8, Cyrus Vance Jr., the one who's going after Trump and his tax returns. Andrew Cuomo, a lot of people are after him. Number 7, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Number 6, somebody people ought to be after her. Number 5, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Merrick Garland, his hearings going forth this week. Number 4, Yogananda Pittman, the new police chief, Capitol Police Chief in Washington, is 3. Donald Trump is 2. and Joe Biden is number one. Pretty appropriate, very interesting list. Stimulates lots of conversation, which is what we're all about here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen. All right, let's move back to the charts, the people charts for this week, courtesy of Talkers Magazine, the Bible of the talk radio industry. And the next name is Yogananda Pittman. And I facetiously said, oh, a new yogi in town. In fact, Ms. Pittman is the new chief of the United States Capitol Police. She is being put there because of the miserable performance of the person who was there before her with regard to what happened in January. So whatever else we know, I don't know, you know, that much more about her. She's been there for what seems to be a career police person. So, I mean, what else do you have to say? Wait and see what she does. I don't know whether people are taking a shot at her because she's black.
Well, the reason she's in the photo, we're talking about the Capitol Police is because there was the first of what will be a lot of hearings on what happened on January 6th. And so there was a hearing this week, not with the former guy, Stephen Sund, who was the one who resigned after the Capitol riots. And so he was on the hot seat. Two other people, I think someone from Metro, from the Washington, D.C. Police Department was there. And another person talking about what they knew, when they knew it, and that kind of thing on January the 6th.
All right. Donald Trump is in the number two position this week as far as people are concerned. And it's more, I guess, maybe one of the big things is he's speaking at CPAC. Is that next week? When is that?
Sunday.
This Sunday. Okay. So he's the featured speaker. Well, I mean, that's no surprise either. That's like red meat for that bunch, right?
Well, and they put it in Florida. They moved it in Florida. So it's easy backyard. For him to get there.
He's wrapped in a cocoon of praise in Florida.
Right. Oh, yeah. They love that. Okay. Number one, Joe Biden. Who is, I don't know if it's concerned or what do we know about this raid? I've heard very little conversation.
That's true.
And I think there ought to be the airstrike against the Iran-backed militia that was ordered yesterday. We're doing this program on Friday. So there were 15 rocket attacks. Apparently the Iranians took a shot at the base in northern Iraq. And so the airstrike against Iran, they must be suicidal. Either that or they're so deftly wrapped up in their own egos, the Ayatollah and some of the other.
They do this every time. They test new administrations. It's very
well. Joe gave him something to think about. It would seem right. It was right back. Bingo.
One targeted missile attack. Yeah, back.
Yeah.
The 22 people were killed, though. It's pretty effective for one attack. Yeah.
The interesting thing is that there's been some criticism because both Jen Psaki and Joe Biden took issue with Trump's administration for launching airstrikes into Syria. And so now imagine this is topic for fodder for conversation. Jen Psaki said, what's the legal authority for these strikes? Assad is a brutal dictator, but Syria is a sovereign country. So we'll see how they answer that over the next couple of days.
Also, the administration has taken to task the Russians. Victoria, what's that? Sanctioning Russia for those solar wind hacks? You want to give us a few moments on that?
We don't know what the sanctions are, but we know that they're coming. And the interesting thing about that is that they're lumping it in with not just the solar winds hack, which went after at least 9 U.S. agencies and 100 private American companies, but they're also getting some retaliation for the poisoning of Alexei Navalny, which is interesting. That's a real personal attack on Putin. That's a big stance. And also election interfering, which the Russians have been doing for the last numerous cycles.
Hold their feet to the fire. All right. Thank you, ladies. Jay, Victoria, Jennifer, I'm Doug Steffen, 10 before the hour.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
All right, we're back to the Talk Radio Countdown Show, and this portion of the program has the feature of having the conversation with Stephen J.J. Wiseman, the professor of law at Bentley, the founder of Scamicide.com, a great lawyer, general practitioner, I would say. Right, wouldn't you? On your shingle, does it say Stephen J.J. Wiseman, attorney at law? my mom's favorite son and general practitioner?
No, because a young Jewish boy who becomes a lawyer is because he wasn't smart enough to become a doctor. So she prefers to say I was a used car salesman.
My son the doctor, my son the lawyer. All right. Well, Steve's job is to help us understand some of the things in the story list from Talkers Magazine that have legal implications. So I'm going to ask you something about one of the ramifications of this COVID thing is keeping people from going to the movies, keeping people from going to restaurants, keeping people from going here, there, or whatever. So I'm of a mind at the moment to legally challenge. A friend of mine was talking about having his daughter's playing softball, and he wants to go sit on the stands with his mask on and watch the softball game. And the local constabularies have said, no, you can't. So I said to him, if it were me, I'd sit there. If they want to arrest me, let them arrest me. Let them take me to jail. Let me go through the system and have them prove using the law that I can't sit there and watch the game. What do you think of that?
Well, I don't, you know, I agree and disagree in the sense that, you know, there can be right now the way the COVID situation is, we could have a loosening of the rules if people would follow them. I mean, you know, I watched some of the college football games during the fall and saw some of these stadiums, particularly in the SEC schools, where there were too many people without masks and they were close together and, you know, it isn't safe. But, you know, what you're saying is let's have some real health evidence in regard to what are the limitations you're putting on people's lives and the economy. And, you know, that's a reasonable thing to do. That you could even go as far as, Doug, if you want to do this, an old law called a writ of mandamus.
Oh, I love that.
You haven't even heard of it. But
no, I have. I remember that.
Yeah, and that is asking or requiring a public servant to do their job. And, you know, frankly, it would be interesting to see what would happen if someone would file a writ of mandamus against some of the, you know, the health executives to find out maybe they could communicate a little better with us. But let's also look at it's a lot worse in this country because people don't follow the basic rules. They don't wear their masks. They're out there partying where they shouldn't be. A lot of college towns have had huge increases. I live in a college town, and we had big increases when the kids came back. So it cuts both ways. People can responsibly get out there more than we're allowed to, but we've got to be responsible.
All right, let me throw this at you. My friend Uri Geller, you know who Uri is.
Sure.
Lives in Israel. Yes, exactly. Some people call him a magician, but he's not really. Anyway, so he tells me this week that in Israel, there is a requirement that you, they've been very successful at getting everybody their shots, but now there's sort of a legal rift among people there because the government says it's going to require you to do two things, where you have to have a card that says that you've been vaccinated, and they're going to list the people in the country who have not had their shots. And so, I mean, they actually, what I thought was most I would think it'd be very frustrating for Jews, frankly, they're going to ask them to wear something, a badge that says, I've had a shot. Oh, man, I can't imagine that going over too well.
No, that one. I don't know who the genius was that came up with that one.
Either, right.
You know, requiring people to do it, but wearing and even publicizing who has not. Boy, that wouldn't fly here. And I imagine when they say you got two Jews in a room, you got three opinions, that's not going to fly high in Israel either.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's have 30 seconds on Trump's legal problems.
Major. I mean, the tax information has finally been turned over to the Manhattan DA. He's got pending investigations in Georgia. He's got serious IRS issues. He's got a lot of legal issues. It's going to take time. The system is slow, but he's in trouble.
Stephen J.J. Wiseman here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is a production of Stefan Multimedia, produced by Bob K. Sound and Recording.